Welcome to another Zero Point Radio show coming at you from BBS Radio down in, actually in Paradise, California, that is. Anyhow, this is Dee Nicholson. I am standing in as host for Christopher Holmes for a bit. He's kind of on a hiatus. And so you get to listen to me and the guests that I bring on. And working with me today is someone I will introduce to you in a moment or two. I think you will enjoy this one. We're going to have a little bit of fun as we go, especially since things are so heavy out there in the world right now that if you can't view it with a little levity, it'll crush you. And I mean literally crush you. I have run into people over the last little while who have said, I've had enough. I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And so they're backing away from, you know, the work that they were doing in terms of sharing the truth. This is not the time for weak knees. So a little levity, people, a little mutual sharing of common ground, common sense, and common truth. Anyhow, having said all that, there's very many things going on in the news. Things that are shocking. Well, what isn't these days? And my co-host today, whose name is Stella Hunt. Welcome, Stella.
Hello, Dee. And how is Madam Wazel today?
Madam Wazel is just boku fine, thank you. Boku.
Good.
Well, you know what? And folks, you may not have heard of Stella before, but Stella used to host on thatchannel.com, which is, you might want to check out if you've got the time to do it. Lots of fun over there. And she did all kinds of stuff over there, and this is where she and I met. And she co-hosted a show I was interviewed on, and then she co-hosted with me later on when I did Real Health on that channel, .com. So we go back a ways, and both of us are grandmothers, and both of us wear tinfoil hats. And
and proudly so.
And proudly so.
We should all be protected.
I think we should, you know.
From all the Wi-Fi and the constant bouncing from grids and cell phone towers and everything
else.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you want to protect yourself from all of that, you may as well get yourself a suit.
Well, maybe we should make a tinfoil suit.
Well, you know, there are such things, sort of. The electrically sensitive people, very many of them, wear clothes made out of fabric that has metallic thread. And they literally wear a cage around them that protects them from EMF.
Great.
Yeah.
But the thing is whoever designed the cities and the grids and the power hydro lines and everything else going around us and putting up all those towers, did they not think that this would affect all human bodies?
Including theirs, you mean?
Yeah, including theirs.
Yeah, well, one wonders. You know, we hear about these elite. Everybody talks about the elite, right?
I don't even want to call them that.
Well, I don't want to call them that either because it kind of sounds good.
Yeah,
you know?
The elite. Oh, yes, they're so posh.
Yes, well, la-di-da and all of that rot. Anyway, the PTB, the powers that be, that's a little
correct.
Bit closer. Little
How about
closer
we just
to...
call them the banksters?
Well, we could do that, too. But, you know, they seem to think they're another race, which is, you know, okay, they can think what they want. I mean,
hey,
talk about...
Hey, they could very well be.
Well...
They could be, lizards from other planets with human bodies.
Or just out of province, who knows?
Out of province, out of country, you know.
Well, look where our crime minister is.
I don't know. Where is he today, anyway?
Well, I don't know where he is today, but he's from Alberta.
Yeah, I know that. He was also part of the Christian Fundamentalist Party before all that, and then with Preston Manning, and oh my God, I don't know why anybody thinks this is a real conservative.
Some of the background on that man is literally scary. I mean, literally scary.
I know. I've looked at some of the pictures of him from early on. You know, I mean, like he's got those kiss ass lips.
Yeah, and his nose kind of hangs on his face.
I wonder.
Oh, okay, stop. Stella, leash time. Oh, that's to Pete. You know, people, I can dress her up, but I can't take her anywhere.
Sure you can.
Oh, yeah, at my own risk.
Well, we're all at our own risk here. Come on.
Well, kind of. I mean, you know what? We're at such risk right now that literally, I mean, we're talking literally, if you don't know what's going on out there, you are more at risk than you know. I mean,
you're a victim.
Oh, well, yeah, if you're not an activist these days, you're a victim because, and you're, if you're not already, you are going to be sued. Well, you already are because the system literally sucks you dry and is designed to do so. Okay, from the get-go. But, you know, we can at least live half-decent lives, which is why they've gotten away with it. Because, you know, they keep us at a level where we're entertained and happy.
Well, I would say for most. I don't think I've been entertained by them and asleep for many years. And, of course, in the last...
Yeah, but that's you, Stel.
Yeah, and in the last 2.5 years, I've, you know... gained so much knowledge, in particular from you and everything else and everybody else that it posts on Facebook and whatnot. And I was just reading an article today. There's so few true investigative journalists left in the world. And the link that I was sent is, you know, it would astound you, the offshore accounts, these bastards who claim bankruptcy set themselves up beforehand. Bankers, heads of government, you know, heads of state, claiming that their country was bankrupt. Meanwhile, they absconded with everybody's funds. It's really
now they're doing
to make your head spin.
Now they're doing it in front of everybody with these
haircuts. Yeah, but this is the thing. You know, like, we're not really a silent majority anymore. We are actually a silenced majority.
That's more like it, yeah. Well, they're trying.
I mean, like, you know, with Harperius, the crime minister in this country, we have all kinds of people being muzzled, scientists, archivists, librarians, watchdogs that are supposed to protect them.
Whistleblowers of all stripes, yeah. Whistleblowers of all stripes are muzzled.
But the thing is...
And our MPs are muzzled. That's
worse. Oh, I know. And what's worse is they're all falling for it. They're all succumbing to whatever threats were made on them. You know what? I honestly feel at this point, if these guys came out and said, yes, we've been threatened by the powers that be, and we can't speak out, I would be sympathetic towards that, and then I would expose the powers that be for the rats they truly are.
Well, don't we tend to forgive criminals who repent of their crimes?
Right.
And that's the whole thing. Okay, sinners, repent, and we may forgive you and protect you. But
I even tweeted that to Harper last night. Come clean. We might understand.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, people, Stella took on Prime Minister Harper last week,
and it resulted
in her getting blocked from his Facebook page. In fact, he blocked all commentary from his Facebook page.
Yes.
And you're listening to the woman who did it. Oh,
and I'm also
Lord.
Very active on Monsanto Company site.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
They haven't been blocked there yet because they know that if they were, I would tweet them. So if they blocked me there.
Well,
so,
you see, the campaign against Monsanto is getting so ruddy big right now. I mean, it's monstrous. Millions against Monsanto. That we're not kidding when we say millions because it's millions and millions and millions of people. Speaking of which, later in the show, I'll just reference this right now. Later in the show, we'll be talking to Kevin Proteau from a site called Local Supporting Locals. And Kevin and a consortium of friends put together a little video that's on GMO alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it sounds fairly innocuous. Oh, well, alfalfa, who gives a fairy hoot? You know, but the bottom line is, that's livestock feed.
Yes.
That livestock that we eat feed. Okay, so if we start messing up our alfalfa, and then it's talking about how it spreads all over the place, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Well, this is why it's so important to buy local on a national basis and insist on everything being labeled and coming from your own country or a country that has similar standards, but not from third world countries where you don't know unless the company that is outsourcing it to the third world countries like Indonesia, China in particular. And what happens there is they just don't care, and their standards are so far below ours.
Well, they put human feces as fertilizer over there.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, human feces as fertilizer in some fields. And it's been found, as we all know, that the products that come from there that are to be consumed, a lot of them are adulterated. Some of them are just fine, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of product that comes out of China that's wonderful. You
name
know,
one.
Name one Chinese medicine.
Oh, the medicine, but they're even trying to stop that there.
Yeah, I know they're trying to stop that here. They're trying to stop it there, too. But, you know, the thing is, though, that, you know, it's not always a problem. It is a problem where there are big contracts being let out to North American companies. That's where you find the problem. When you find Chinese product that is marketed on its own, you know, and imported mm-hmm. as a Chinese product,
mm-hmm.
there's usually not a problem with the product. Where you get a problem is where it's brought in under a brand manufactured for, and they're competing for the contracts. So they lower and lower their labor costs, which, of course, has a nasty effect on the way down.
Well,
because
of course.
You start paying
in
order
you
to give
slave labor
yeah,
over
exactly.
there.
That's
and
how they get it.
Children working for long hours, but the product gets sent here. But in the meantime, this is where the real problem is, and this is why I think people should demand and insist on buying locally made in Canada or made in America.
Exactly.
It's because it keeps jobs on this part of the ocean.
Exactly.
And you know where it's coming from and who
yeah,
made
when,
it.
You know, when did manufacturing always become about import-export?
They started signing the stupid trade agreements. And you know, who had problems trading? The Indians didn't have problems trading way back when. You don't need to have trade agreements to trade.
No,
it's all done on good faith and honor.
Yeah, well, you see, this is a point I've been making for a very long time, as you know. You know, that we, before trade agreements, Canada was a trading country. We
yes.
traded fur, we traded all kinds of commodities all over the planet. We traded like buggers. And the thing was, the only thing that kept business happening
mm-hmm.
back then was honor.
That's right.
We would shake hands and we would have a deal.
That's right, and that's the way it should still be done.
Yeah.
I don't know why they think they always have to fix what isn't broke. I don't understand why they need to, and to put such long terms on these stupid deals as if that, you know, that is just going to put the country into complete devastation and wipe out our economy, more people out of jobs with the TPP, FIPA, and everything else. It absolutely is mind-boggling what those agreements really do and how powerful these globalist corporations are. They have 600 lobbyists always at them.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fighting for them. So, you know, this is why, you know, if the guest comes on, I totally commend them for doing it and starting it. And to have this local whole thing go national.
Oh, don't swell his head.
I wasn't trying to swell his head. I really feel that way.
I know. I know. I'm just, you know. But seriously, you know, we're in a situation now, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, where things are so overwhelming, because look at the issues that we just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them were there? A whole bunch, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the number doesn't matter, okay? The number doesn't matter. The point is there were a whole bunch of issues that have we even touched?
No, we haven't even touched the surface.
Oh, yeah. You see what I'm saying? And I'm seeing articles now coming out and saying that, you know, people's lives are now so stressful
mm-hmm.
that people are snapping all over the place. In mm-hmm. fact, what was it? 247wereport.com, I believe, is the site that sent it out today, talking about how there are people snapping all over the place. All huh. over the place. It says that the headline on it is Americans snapping by the millions.
Well, no wonder. I mean, like the jobless rate, the numbers the government posts officially is not nearly what it really is when people get off unemployment insurance and they've been looking for jobs for so long that they're not even on the books anymore. Then there's how many people on food stamps across America and the numbers grow daily?
50 million.
That's a lot of people.
50
I mean, that's
million
more,
people.
That in itself is more than the entire population of our country.
Yeah. It's like put in the entire country on food stamps, and then you could add in Mexico, or Mexico City anyway.
Well, I don't know if I want to go to Mexico right about now, because that's a whole new ball game.
Let's not go there.
No.
Let's not go there. I don't want to get on that bus today.
No, I'm not wearing my special helmet.
Yeah, I know there's some things tinfoil doesn't work on. However, no, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to me that things are the way they are, and the population is as quiet as it is.
I don't think they're quiet. I think the fact that their bodies physically are reacting emotionally and on a physical level by snapping, and look at the upswing on suicides, and especially in teens. Nobody has hope left. And I think that if everybody realized how strong they really are and how much power they have, they wouldn't take it away from us. We have to not only speak out, we have to not only write to them and call these people on it daily, but we have to all, one country or two countries, march. And there's more of us than there are of them, and that people have to realize that.
Yeah, we
there
have
aren't
numbers.
Enough police to, go one-on-one with people. There just aren't. And who is going to work against what they themselves might be going through? You know,
they're in their jobs.
They're stressful. They have families. They might have another child on the way. They may not be able to make ends meet. So, you know.
Well, if they don't, their families certainly do. And, you know, you're talking about the American military. I'm sure if I was a general who was high up, one of the ones that Obama approved of.
Which one?
No, I said if I were a general.
I know, but which general are you speaking of that Obama approved of?
Well, there were a whole bunch of them that he approved of. He kicked out a whole bunch more. And apparently, now I can't confirm this. I read it on the Internet. You know, is everything true on the Internet? I don't know.
Right.
You know, I try and look up stuff so that I've got it covered, you know, two or three sources that are credible saying the same thing. But at least. But I don't have another source for this, so I don't know how true it is. But I believe it was Alex Jones, so put whatever credence in it that you want,
right,
saying that Obama was firing generals who had stated that they would not order troops to fire on Americans.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's what I meant when I said the ones Obama has approved of.
Uh-huh. So what's this guy really doing? What is Obama doing? He is enslaving the country.
Whoa. Yes, he is. But, you know, here's my point, okay, to go back to where I was before. Oh. We were talking about the military and the police being human beings,
mm-hmm,
and having families, okay? How many people in the military now regret that they're there?
Oh, there's more every day. They come back and tell the horror that they suffer there, and then they go through the effects of all the chemicals that are in them already, and the effects of, you know, shooting innocent women and children on the streets and
leaving.
Well,
the last I heard, Stella, there were 100,000 American veterans homeless.
Well, that's pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic.
You know, they go over there, duped, cannon mm-hmm fodder, hat tip to Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
Cannon fodder, right?
Yes.
They come back and can't get a job.
And then they, too, can't get medical requirements fulfilled.
Oh, well.
Their minds are so messed up.
Well, very often it'll be, we can't do that this year. So they're in line for years to get the treatment that they need. Their mental health is ignored. They're just shoved up more drugs, more this, more. I mean, it is horrendous, and that's just the military.
Mm-hmm. So okay? The president is basically saying, we'll use you for our wars for our profit and our agenda, but once you fight in our wars, we're going to just totally disregard you. You're not. You don't exist.
Well, it was ever thus.
Mm.
It was ever thus. Okay, soldiers are nothing more than cannon fodder. They never have been. There's never been a war fought, honestly.
Oh, God, no. They've always been financed by both sides. They play both sides against the middle, and whoever makes the most money at the end to them,
well,
it's all about winning and profit.
You know, have you ever heard of the game Risk?
Yes.
Okay. This world is running almost like a game of Risk. There are players who are playing us,
mm-hmm,
like chess pieces.
Oh,
they
yeah
move things around to their own advantage.
And create distractions.
And
but,
create
you know,
distractions. And in the meantime, what do? With the sheeple? They entertain us. They entertain us. Now, listen to this, okay? Remember, we were talking about how everybody's snapping.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is from WorldNet Daily, WND.com, today, okay? Check this out. Suicide has surpassed car crashes as the leading cause of injury deaths for Americans. More U.S. soldiers died last year by suicide than in combat. Okay? One-third of the nation's employees suffer chronic debilitating stress. More than half of all millennials, meaning 18 to 33-year-olds, experience a level of stress that keeps them awake at night, including large numbers diagnosed with depression or anxiety disorder.
Well, they call it a disorder, but we're just under a lot of stress.
This is how much stress, okay?
Yeah.
New research from the CDC, and this is Center for Disease Control and Prevention, shows that 1 in 5 of all high school kids in the United States has been diagnosed with ADHD. Now, you know what kind of a pile of cow manure I think of that.
Yeah,
however,
me too.
But listen to this. A large new study of New York City residents shows that 1 in 5 preteens,
oh,
children aged 6 to 12 have been medically diagnosed with either ADHD, anxiety, depression, or bipolar. This is impossible.
Oh,
this
my God.
How impossible.
How many articles and research has been done on this in terms of labeling and pigeonholing all these kids where they don't have ADHD?
I know, but
what they
have
is stress. And,
I know,
and
but wait.
No support emotionally.
Well, there's a lot more than that still, but let's not go there because I've got more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stress renders people susceptible to serious illness. So now a growing number of studies confirm that chronic stress is playing a major role in the progression of cancer. Heart disease is also, of course, dependent on stress.
Of course.
Okay, then we have 11% of all Americans aged 12 and older are taking SSRI antidepressants. 11%. That's 1 in 10. Okay, that's the same population as Canada.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now these things are, as far as I'm concerned, well, I know for a fact, it's proven, it's nothing but a chemical lobotomy.
Well, not only that.
And they're very, very dangerous, but I don't want to go there either. Because
but they're selling this to the public, and the public is buying it. They don't question their doctors, who are supposed to be God.
Yeah, I know, but let's not go there right now.
When can I go there?
When I turn... Never mind. You see what I mean? Anyways. Women are particularly prone to depression. My goodness, 1 in 4 in their 40s and 50s now take antidepressants in the States. 1 in 4 women in their 40s and 50s, 1 in 4 taking antidepressants.
So those are perimenopausal and possibly postmenopausal women who have been sold this and are taking antidepressants.
Hormonal problem.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, ain't that typical. But, you know, and on we go. And if you add 6.4 million American children diagnosed between 4 and 17, diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed Ritalin, then you add in the 28% of American adults with a drinking problem, well, now you got 60 million plus. Plus the 22 million using illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, heroin, hallucinogens, and inhalants. Now, how many Americans is that?
I would say that is now most of the population.
Okay, now consider this. Wouldn't it be interesting if the economic system collapsed? Now, don't say anything because we know it's going to. I know. They all know. We know it's going to go. Okay? But let's just say if.
Right.
The economy collapsed. All of those
engineered
ways,
to collapse, I might add.
I'm not done. Here's the point. All those millions of Americans who are either using legal or illegal drugs or alcohol or Ritalin or whatever, okay, all of a sudden the economy collapses. How do they get their drugs?
Well, maybe that'll be better for them. It'll be instant withdrawal by force.
Yeah, but think of all those millions on withdrawals.
Well, I'm sure the effects will be complete civil unrest.
That would be from the crash, yes. But I'm talking about a whole bunch of people with emotional problems.
But they don't really have them.
Stella, they have problems. They're just not chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have problems. They're just not chemical. So you've got a whole bunch of people on a whole bunch of drugs going into withdrawal immediately. That is going to drive them over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And people are going to start acting crazy en masse, literally the entire population of Canada within the United States going crazy because of withdrawals. Do you see what kind of danger we're in here?
Oh, I know.
I mean, I read another article from a survivalist, an expert in survivaling. Survivaling is a new verb.
From the dictionary of D.
Yeah, well, from the dictionary of a lot of people, you know, because, like, whoever thought about survivalist, that's now a word, so I guess it would be survivaling.
Mm.
I don't know.
Could be.
But at any rate, you know, I'm reading from him, and he's talking about what happens when it crashes, because amazingly so, within 2 days, your supermarket shelves are empty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Within a week, people don't have any food.
Mm-hmm.
What was in the supermarkets is grabbed by emergency services because they know they're going to have to dole it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that starts all kinds of crap, like looting and all kinds of things start to go on. Then the person with a ham sandwich becomes a target.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was saying what I've been saying for a long time. If there's a shortage of food, your gold isn't going to feed you.
Yep, neither is all the money in the bank that you can't access either.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to be able to buy food.
Yeah, exactly. So, you see, it pays to pay attention. You know, it pays to pay attention. People out there who do not know these things, and let me tell you, it's not like we're not talking through our tinfoil hats here. We're not. I mean, everything that we're talking about here is verifiable, easily verifiable.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old could verify everything that we're saying
mm-hmm.
within 5 minutes. Okay, now, if people are not aware of the things that we've just skimmed over, just briefly scratched the surface up, and they're not aware of even of that, what kind of a situation are we facing? And therefore, what kind of onus is on everybody who knows something to say something?
No matter, though, how many times people like you, people like me, who go on our social network sites and post things and try to wake up what we all commonly refer to as the sheeple, who are asleep in their day-to-day routines.
Yep.
They go to work if
yep.
they have a job.
Yep.
They come home, they're hurried to prepare dinner, and most of the time, because of convenience foods that they don't want, they don't have the time to prepare because they have so much else going on once they get home. So you take in all that, and the thing becomes, did they make themselves victims by succumbing to convenience?
Absolutely.
And the advertising.
Absolutely. That's the inconvenience of convenience. You know, they make it so stressful that we have to take every shortcut we can. And a shortcut becomes, you know, oh, God, thank God I got Kraft dinner, right? Never mind you're feeding your kids, you know, complete garbage made of God knows what, you know. But you grab a package off a shelf and say, thank God I won't have to make dinner because I got to do laundry, and then I got to do this and that and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we do it with the best of intentions, okay? All we're trying to do is give ourselves a break, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's when we give ourselves that break that we become dependent.
This is why I still think that if we go back to more simplicity in our lives and more equitable pay, so that the mother doesn't have to work and she can be at home to take something out the day before, have most of it, you know, kind of ready to go and then just stick it in the oven or wherever. I'm not going to say microwave because I don't like things being cooked in microwaves. But
I
go back to more simpler times and, you know, stick to that. And then I think our lives would be less diseased. And you know as well as I do that dis-ease, what we get and the repercussions of illnesses are from being ill at ease with society, with ourselves, with the system, everything. Mm-hmm. It all culminates through your body.
Yep.
So let's go back to simpler times. Put your stupid iPads away. Put your smartphones away. There's nothing smart about them. You're a dummy if you use it.
Exactly, because all you're doing is exposing yourself to radiation for the sake of something that, you know, what difference does it make? Well, you know what, maybe you might see more of the world you're walking through. You might see more of your own surroundings if you didn't have your nose glued to a piece of tech all day.
Well, not only that, but you once you are more alert to your surroundings and what's going on, while you're walking, you're also gaining a sense of self and who you are, and you have other thoughts going in your head rather than trying to find out if the person you text got your text and is going to reply. Whether, you know, like, put away the goddamn Blackberries and everything else that has messages from work. Whatever happened to 9 to 5, come home, they can't reach you, your work is done, you don't need to be on the thing 24/7, you don't need to be on the bus calling your family and your husband to say you'll be home, because they know you're on the bus every day at the same time. You don't need to be doing that. And also, smartphones are not smart. To me, it's just another way of having the powers that be track you down.
And, well,
and
yeah,
can,
but
if
you
they
know,
can turn it on, they can bloody well turn it off,
but
is what I'm trying to say.
And here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing. With all the data transferring, I think I was telling you the other day, wasn't I, that when you're using data transfer,
mm-hmm.
you need to be between two stations. Two sender towers. You get twice the Wi-Fi for your money.
Yeah.
Twice the Wi-Fi. And, of course, you're getting competing vibrations coming at each other from two different sources. Hello, this is not good for you. Like, whatever gave these people the idea that they could shoot us through full of microwave? Well, you know, on the other hand, I don't even want to contemplate why they would do that, because there's also, you know, a deliberate aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about that. I mean, I'm not talking to people who are
but
ignorant.
But for the people that who are listening and who may not have tuned in before or are tuned in to everything that's going on, I think we should tell them a little bit about it.
Well, on the microwave stuff, yeah. You know, people have to realize that everything that has a remote quality about it, i.e. it started with TV remotes, and weren't they fun? You know, you no longer
oh, yeah,
had to get off your butt.
Oh, yeah, saved you
from
walking, you know, a few feet across
Five
the room.
Feet,
heaven
yeah.
forbid
yes.
to change the channel.
Yes, and then we would freak out. Totally freak out if we couldn't find the ding blasted thing and we had to walk those few feet to the TV.
Oh,
then,
and
of
never
course,
mind.
They gave us, wait. Then they give us 199 channels.
Oh, now it's a lot
okay.
More.
Now it's a problem. Now we need a remote. Okay? Now we need a remote. Because you have to scroll through, right?
Mm-hmm.
199 channels takes a while. Oh, that's not convenient, right? So the remotes. And then we have the things, they don't even need a remote. The Samsung, Sanyo, the new smart TVs, you stand in front of them and give them hand signals. Can you believe that?
That means that if they can see hand signals, then it's not just for TV.
Now you got it. Exactly. If they can see hand signals, they can see other shit too. Sorry.
Close your bedroom doors, people!
Yeah, really? Put tape over your TV, cover it with a sheet at night.
You know what? I think the best thing to do at night is completely unplug everything you're not going to use when you will go to sleep.
Yeah, that'd be handy, but then you see that would be inconvenient. In the morning, you'd have to go running around plugging
it all
in.
Well, you don't have to run around plugging a lot more in than your coffee maker. and you can get your stuff out of the fridge. Your fridge is going to stay plugged in the essentials, but
well,
turn
think
off
about
your
it.
TV. Unplug think. The computer connections. Unplug all of this. Turn off your damn phones. Everything. Turn them completely
except
off.
For your
remove
alarm
the
clock.
Chip. Yeah, remove the chip.
Well, people aren't going to do that, though, still.
No,
this
they're not,
the
but if they were smart, they would.
Yeah, well, if they were to you.
I do. As a matter of fact, I started making a habit of it over the last few weeks. I have literally gone around and think, I'm not using this till later on tomorrow. I'm going to unplug it. Also, you can save on your electric bill if you do that. Just because it's not in use, once it's plugged into the outlet, you're still using electricity. Not
for
at the
some
same
things.
Yeah.
Not everything. Not everything. I mean, if your coffee pot, for example, has a clock in it, you're going to be using electricity while it's off. Okay, but if you don't have a clock in it, the off switch means off.
Yeah, I remember that old Hydro commercial. Turn it off, and the dog would bark off.
Uh-huh.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
I think it's the way to go.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. But, we need to turn a lot of things off, and the first thing we need to turn off is mainstream media, as I'm concerned.
Where you have these drone-like people with very concerned faces looking on, but they're actually very stone-faced while they're telling their stories so that you can stay glued to the TV to watch more, and it's all of what they want to show you. Just listen to us. These are the real photos, people. We're the FBI. You can trust us for this story. We're building a case against this little guy or that person or that person. What does that say? Building? That means they're trying to put a case together. They haven't got anything there.
Yes, well...
Let's fabricate another story. First, this guy gets blown up and loses his legs, goes into the hospital. Then another guy gets burned. Oh, what happened to him? He's being visited by Michelle Obama. Heaven forbid. How did that happen? How does it... Now you see it, now you don't.
Well, we all know that's easy.
Yes,
I mean,
we know, but we have to put that message out there. Pay attention. Do not listen to the mainstream media, the Foxes, CNNs, NBC, CBS in particular.
Yes, don't let yourself be outfoxed. This is the thing. I got to bust in here because we're close to the time we're going to be bringing our guest in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we're going to be discussing with him is an idea he came up with, okay? The site is localsupportinglocals.ca. And Kevin Perteau is the founder of localsupportinglocals.ca. And essentially what he's talking about is what you and I have been talking about this for a long time. You know, you go local, you micromanage in an emergency, everybody take care of each other.
That's right. It's
close in. Circle the wagons. Circle the wagons.
It's got to be more of a community type of mentality that you know that if you're in a crisis, you may have something they need. They have something you need. Exchange. Eat together. You know, that's what people have to learn, I think, how to do anyway. Otherwise, they're going to end up in FEMA prisons and camps all over the U.S.
We have not... carried on family-type traditions in this country or across North America for a very long time in the way that we used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you and I were growing up, okay, things were a whole lot different when it came to family events and this and that. We all had them,
mm-hmm.
right? We all hated some of them and loved others,
mm-hmm.
right? We all did a nudge, nudge, wink, wink when, he had to go to his cousins. Right? We all, but it was family. And as much as we complained, it was family. And one thing that the powers that be have done over the last 100 and some odd years.
Your guest is on line 2.
Great. Kevin is about to join us, which is perfect. The thing is that for a very, very long time, it has been the case that other people from outside have gotten more and more control over our economies and over the way that we live. And
over
one
the way
thing,
that we eat.
And breathe and drink and whatever. And the thing that I like about Kevin's site, and I'll introduce it again, localsupportinglocals.ca. The more localized we become in terms of bringing the community back together, bringing people back together, whether it's on a community or a national or regional basis, we have to come together with an identity and a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be, we're going to take care of ourselves, and then everything else will take care of other people. That's how. That's what Canada always was. So now, without further ado, let me bring on Kevin Proteau, the founder of LocalSupportingLocals.ca. Welcome, Kevin.
Yes, thanks for having me, Dee.
Oh, no problemo, my friend.
Hello, Kevin.
Oh, this is Stella.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well.
Don't ask. You may get told. Anyways, you and I have known each other for a while. I know this is a first introduction for Stella. But as I was saying a moment ago, the thing that impressed me right from the get-go is the fact that you were drawing people together through your website. And you've got
The thing I've noticed for a long time is that is the true solution to a lot of what is taking place today. Keep local global. I mean, like you were just saying here, with how big our federal government is getting, in order to take down the big government, you have to take back your local government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the one thing I did here in Penticton, British Columbia, is I went to, I had my first ever 5-minute delegation. And again, I'm just a concerned citizen who's trying to make positive change here. And when they were installing the AMR smart meters here in town, I went and requested a 5-minute delegation. And I reminded the city council that they take an oath and they have a mandate to protect the health and the safety of the citizens of their community. And that's what we need to remind them of. And that's how I was actually able to get the first opt-out program in Canada. So the thing is a lot of our local governments are just as corrupt as the our provincial and federal. So we got to make sure we get organized in our communities and get the right people in there.
Yeah, we also know, don't we, that, you know, a lot of the local councils and local governments of all stripes have been usurped by UN programs like the ICLEI program, the World Urban Forum, and so they're putting their fingers in from the bottom up as well as the top down. You know, as Canada
yep.
gets absorbed through these trade agreements that we're all sucked into now, we're also getting, you know, getting fingered, so to speak, by the UN.
And not in a good way.
That's a perfect segue into what UN Agenda 21 is all about, is the world's sustainability development, which is all about getting into the local governments and under the guidelines of becoming green and more sustainable for our communities. And that's what it has absolutely nothing to do with, but people are being sucked into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it. I mean, it's very easy for people to take this kind of advice, like get involved at your community level. But then you've got to be very, very careful what you get involved in, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, that's what happened to me initially, is that they started a transition town here, and transition towns are global, and I question anything when it's global. Mm-hmm. Just having started my own grassroots and seeing how many people resonate and like what it is I'm doing, and the length of time it takes to get something together and build it. So when something comes out and it goes global, there's something, or it's way too organized, so there's something else behind it, and that's what you got to question.
Yeah.
So to me, I try to inform people is you know, unless you can touch it, smell it, scratch it, leave it alone, you know, because you don't know what's behind it anymore.
Well, not only that, but you know what? We've all got enough on our plates to deal with, between our own lives that we're trying to cope with and what's going on out there. We are overwhelmed. And so if you can't get your hands on something, I mean, focus on what you can do. Don't worry about what you can't do. And don't worry about everything coming from every angle. You know, but what you're doing, this is where the key is. When you have a bunch of people who give a damn about each other because they're community, right? You always got somebody watching your six, don't you?
Yeah, well, it took me years to put this together without coming across as radical, but in putting together this, what started off as a calendar, Local Supporting Locals, I'm focusing on our Okanagan region here, which is basically three regions or three cities under one region, and that forms about 300,000 strong here. So, I mean, that's the way where I'm located here in B.C., it's spread out throughout the mountains here, but too many people are going for the jugular here, and you can't do that. So you got to take it back at your local level. So I promoted all my local ethical, organic, and natural farmers onto a calendar, took pictures of them in their environments, who they are, what they grow, how to find them all again, and strictly mom-and-pop advertising all throughout the calendar, which are like business card size ads all the way around, for people to connect back to their local. So when you're looking at it, it's a beautiful calendar. I have to thank my graphic designer. Without her, I mean, this one that turned out as beautiful as it did, but it basically smacks you in the face every day, reminding you, you know, at least go check out your local mom and pops, because contrary to what people believe too, I mean, Walmart's got their lost leaders just to lure you into the stores, but I know my prices, and it's amazing how many things are not that cheap in Walmart. And if you actually went back to your local mom and pop, you know, you can actually get it for either the same price, even sometimes cheaper. But the difference there is now that money stays in your community. Walmart and the big box
that's
stores.
That's what's really good about it. But consider this, okay? The resources are taken out of the ground in Canada and the United States. They're shipped over to China, okay? They're manufactured into cheap Walmart stuff, which is then shipped back to us over here. Now, why on earth does anybody with a brain take material from here and ship it 10,000 miles and then 10,000 miles back in order to make it cheaper? How do you make it cheaper?
I think there's more than meets the eye on that, because I mean, essentially what they're doing to North America is they're gutting us, and in order to do that, they have to destroy all our manufacturing.
Oh, I know.
And that's
what I'm saying is, Kev, the whole thing doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? The whole thing doesn't make sense on the surface of it. How could it be cheaper? What are they doing to make it cheaper? Okay, so what they're actually doing is they're playing with people's lives on two continents, right, in order to make it cheaper. And they're sucking people in and getting people trying to, you know, we're all after, as Stella and I were talking about earlier, in terms of the convenience of things that people get sucked into with iPads and all that stuff and, you know, this, that, and everything else. And it's coming in cheap from these places. And so we appreciate that so much that we just go along with it. And we don't question the fact that
I'm
going
to need you to speak
abused.
Up a little bit. For some reason, you're getting more dis on me there, Dee.
Oh, that's because I opened the door. I just tossed out a peanut or two for my squirrel friend. Anyways, you know, what we're doing is we don't even know that we're supporting a system of brutality. Mm-hmm. It is brutality.
Child slavery, child labor.
Oh, yeah.
And look at what's been happening, and Walmart's been behind it. You know, factories burning, people burning. There's no safety regulations over there. That's how they get it cheaper. But, you know, that whole attention Walmart shoppers, prices, look out for falling prices. Well, look out for something falling directly on your head.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah.
Because, you know, all this convenience is not doing anybody any good, and the only people who are gaining from it is the Walmart family.
Waltons, yeah, like
the Waltons. Well, they're not the Waltons of TV.
From TV, no, they aren't.
Those were good people.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, the calendar was quite a feat. I know it was really, really hard for you to get it together because people were dealing with a lot of sleeping people, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, a lot of us get what's going on today. And we realize we need to do something. And so it's all in the title, Local Supporting Local. So what I try to do is collaborate with people that want to work towards solutions. And instead what I was getting was people wanting to copy, imitate, recreate, rename, you name it. And so it was a tough time. But at the same token, trying to recreate what I'm doing is very difficult when you're not coming from the heart because – I mean, where I am in BC, particularly, it is tourist capital. It's agricultural capital, and a lot of these stores are knocked on 3 to 5 times a day, asking for to advertise in a new magazine featuring the Okanagan. I mean, it's nonstop, and then they get hit with the fax, the emails, the phone calls. So, in order to, you know, for me to pull off what I did, this had to come from the heart, and that's I ended up with 64 advertisers in my calendar. And the funny part is this is spread out between an area. It's got about 4-5 different communities, and Penticton being the hub. It's spread out. It takes about an hour to travel from one end to the other, and I don't drive. So I mean, it was a feat and a half that way too, because I had to hitchhike. I biked. I bum rides. I paid for rides in order to pull this off, and it was kind of nice because the local media got on top of that and actually did a story on it, which was really nice of them to do that. But you know, again, that's from the heart, and you know, it's going to take I figured 2 years, you know, 2 times coming out there for people to continue to talk about it. But the thing is I'm very. I'm very passionate in the way, like, I hold community meetings. Like, I just had one the other day in regards to here in BC with their new two-tier system that they came out with, Fortis. People's bills are skyrocketing, going through the roof. Some people aren't being hit right away. But I had a meeting on it, and what I did is I actually pulled in people. I had somebody come in to talk about the smart meters, even though some people weren't necessarily concerned about the health and safety, and and some of them even thought that that was all just fear-based. And but I said we need to unite on this, because if we're split up into a group that cares about the utility costs going up, and the ones that aren't affected by it don't get involved. If the ones that are concerned about smart meters but don't care about the rising costs, you know, now you just keep staying divided. But if we all actually united and supported each other. Now we go in by the numbers, and that's how you start to make change. So the funny thing is even all the activists out there are divided. And so if we could just unite the activists, holy cow, would we be able to make a movement like there's one tomorrow? That would be the 1%
too.
That we need.
This has been deliberate, too, Kevin, as you know. And I think you and I have probably covered this territory before several times. The bottom line is there are so many causes out there. Each one of them is meritorious. Each one of them is important. Each one of them is worth our time. You know, like the smart meter campaign, I get so impressed when I look at some of the BC activists. You know, they may be divided up into groups, but they do get stuff done. a whole lot better than some other people. And it didn't used to be that way. I don't know what woke them up to that point, but, you know, good on them. I hope they do more. Here's the thing, though. They got all kinds of little issues, okay? You got your GMO salmon. You got BC Rail, okay? You got Fortis. You got, you know, the whole smart meter and Wi-Fi thing. You got vaccines. I mean, you name it. There's all these different causes. Now, each individual can't chase all of them, right? So what happens?
Yeah,
is
I know that, and again, that is done intentionally.
Of course, it is.
They're getting us at all different angles, and that's why I had I was invited to go to a gathering and speak at it, and I ended up running the conference, and so it was a local supporting local conference, and I brought in a lot of speakers. To speak to the different issues that are affecting us, making sure that they were credited in what they spoke on here, and like you said, they're all very valid points. So, what my closing speech was is we all need to unite, and what we got to do. And I know it's going to be tough at the beginning, and people will be a little apprehensive. Is we actually have to walk out of work. We have to do this BC wide, and. That's where it starts. But the thing is there's no protesting. You can't do that because that's what they want. They got all the gear now. We were seeing RCMP now with tanks, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, what are they preparing here for? So what we need to do is actually walk out of work and form community picnics, you know, city picnics, and just take the day off. You know, places like Walmart, I mean, they got so much tracking systems in their stores, and no wonder. I mean, a lot of those people must be sick, for God's sakes. But they track everything right down to the last second of money coming in. They know exactly where to put that tube of toothpaste, that can of cat food. They know every detail in that store, so they count on so much revenue per day. If you took that away for one day, that's when you start to get them to start to look over.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's almost like the Occupy movement, but nobody's occupying.
So, in other words, everybody should start taking boycott breaks.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Kevin.
Just letting them know. I mean, that's what scares the crap out of them. And I got on board with the I Don't Know More, and they allowed to have for an open mic. And I got up and I said that, you know, I said, you know what scares the shit out of these guys the most? Is if you and I started talking, you know, the white man and the indigenous here, if we actually got connected, that would scare the living crap out of them. But I mean, if you think we're our government's corrupt, I mean, if they got the same thing going on in the bands, and I think it's actually worse because that's where the government has the tough time. Is they need to get those land rights taken away from them and all the agreements and treaties
that
they have. So they're even worse.
Funny you should say that, Kevin. Okay, now check this out. I get today from our friend Keto, who was on the show, on the very last show that we did. And it is, listen to this, notice of meeting, Standing Committee on Aboriginal Affairs and Northern Development, meeting number 70. Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. That's, you know, like next Tuesday, okay? 8:45 a.m. to 9:45 a.m. Gee, must be important. They're giving it a whole hour. Okay? Order of the day. Listen to this. Bill C-428. It's a private member's bill. Whose, I wonder? An act to amend the Indian Act. Publication of bylaws,
God.
And to provide for its replacement.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And this is for all bands across Canada?
Well, now this is, we got to nose into this more. I got to talk to Keto and find out what this is all about, because it's a private member's bill. It's C-428. Anything over 200 is not a government bill, so it's not Harper. Who is it? Who is it?
Oh.
Right, I just got this today, so I don't know yet.
Well, by all means, forward it off. I would definitely like to throw that out and see what comes back on that one.
Kevin,
yeah, because once they take
something.
Down the indigenous, Canada is going to be toast. There's nobody to protect it. Like even here in the Indian band here in Penticton, it was very sad to see that they have now formed the Penticton Indian Band Development Corporation. So they're actually now going to be having condos, golf course, all kinds going. The Costco is coming in, the big corporate stores, and they think it's about bringing money to their people. But meanwhile, the band itself likes it, of course, because they're profiting, but the people don't want it because they know what's behind it. So they got a lot of infighting going on over there. And for years and years here in our Okanagan, they've been trying to put a national park, and everybody's been fighting it. It doesn't matter what color, creed, or religion. And now all of a sudden, it was because of a freedom of information, but there was a review put in that cost $400,000, $200,000 to the Osoyoos band, $200,000 to the Penticton band, and apparently now it seems to be like it's a good idea to turn it into a national park. So it was truly disheartening to see that happen. Mm-hmm. Is that all it took was $200,000 each for you guys to sell out? But at the same token, they got everybody worrying about their last penny and their last dollar. And so everybody's just grasping at anything right now to try and survive and not realizing, though, it's truly the wrong way to go. We're going to have to suffer a little bit first before we can take it back, and that's going to take community. So I don't care what standard of living you're used to living at. You better get used to hardship, because otherwise you're not going to like what you're going to see if you go down the other route.
Kevin? Well, I now know who introduced the bill. It is a conservative. Okay, so how he got it, but it is a private member's bill, meaning it's not supported by caucus. Okay, he is a native man, member of the Muskeg Lake First Nation, and he wears a pink shirt and a magenta tie, and isn't he fashionable?
Wow.
Churchill River, Saskatchewan.
I'd like to ask Kevin if he wants to go national with this local localsforlocals.ca.
Well, with locals supporting locals, the way it's developed is to start up chapters all throughout BC and right across Canada. And the key, though, is we have to follow a code of ethics, but we network with each other, whether it be trading, bartering, exchanging of goods. It's going to take a lot of work to get us connected in our community here, but you need to make sure you got all your resources going, from water, electricity, food sovereignty, and it's meant to develop right across Canada.
Well, for example, I'm very active on Facebook, and I see tons of ads on the sides, as you probably are aware if you go on there. And I think I did see something. I don't know if it was your particular project, but it was Locals for Locals. And I was just wondering, how does one go about starting up a regional chapter to make this go?
Well, the best way is to contact me, because the way I developed it, it actually creates, people ask me, what do you do? And I said, well, actually, I'm a professional activist. And they kind of look at me funny. And I said, well, because I created something as a way to fund myself and a couple of other people to go out there, fight the good fight, but provide a service to the community where it gets the community supporting the farmer and the mom and pop, and advertising for the mom and pop back to them. So it creates the win-win-win situations all the way around. So that's what the calendar is developed to do. And then you develop the website to do the same thing as well, so that people advertise through your website. And so the thing at the end of the day, too, is you got to get the right people involved with that, too, because when you're dealing with graphic work or tech work, like for videos and and stuff like that, a lot of people that went and took those courses and do those jobs, you know, they were told that they make anywhere from, you know, $150 to $300 an hour. It varies on what the skill is. And so it's hard to get some of those, the right talented people to come in and understand you got to drop your prices because we got to, you know, a lot of the mom and pops don't have that, you know, $2,000 for a website. But they do have, you know, $700 or $800. So let's do that for them. And again, that goes back to the win-win. And like the community and the network I have developed here in my Okanagan, I got friends that come out with me sometimes, and we go shopping, you know, for like today I went with a friend up to the community next door here, and they got a great organic butcher up there with chicken and steak, and I mean all the good stuff up there. And it's actually a lot of times cheaper than going to the corporate store. People have no idea. It's like $12.79 for a ribeye organic steak, as opposed to if you went to the Safeway, it's like $16.99. So people just they haven't gone to shop around again yet, you know. But he sees me when I go into a lot of these business. You know, I'm going behind the counter, shaking hands with the owner, and you know, it's been a lot of work, but it's been fantastic. And to have that reception when you go into places, that community feeling is fantastic. And you know, and so they're very surprised by it. But at the same token, you know, hey, Bo, meet Tom. Tom, meet Bo. You know, now you just met each other. You know, and
well,
so
and
that's how we start to do it again. You know, it's the only chance we got as Canadians here is to truly go back to the local level, have community meetings. It doesn't matter what level of income you are at. I don't care if you live on the hill, below the tracks. I mean, we're all in this together here. And, you know, and we got to get our heads out of our butts.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like Stella and I both live in Toronto. And I for one, I think Stella agrees with me, too. I, for one, am totally sick of being around people who don't know their neighbors, don't want to know their neighbors. You know, the only time they ever meet their neighbors is when the power goes out. You know.
But interestingly, that is like, oh, my God, did this happen in your house, too? So it's not just me. And then they go out and talk, and they get to know each other. But I remember in the last power outage, in 2003, the sense of community in the area where I lived was incredible.
Yeah,
people were sharing their barbecues in order for others to cook if they didn't have one.
Of course.
You know,
Stella,
local...
Stella? Cork, please, thank you. Here's the thing. It's real easy. This is the point that we need to make to people. I think, Kevin, you'll agree that it's a whole lot easier to get that sense of community happening than you would think. You have to be creative, but the thing is that people are willing. They just don't. They're sort of like, who's going to go first? You know. That's,
well,
that's
like I've made
deal.
That motion here, and it's tough. You know, I like even with this. With there was a Facebook page created by someone else, and it was mostly focused on our Okanagan here, and some people have BC Hydro, some have Fortis, and here in Penticton, we own our utility, but we do purchase in bulk from Fortis. So eventually what affects Fortis customers will affect us here because whatever Fortis does, you know, I mean, so I was invited to the page, and so I posted other things in relation to it, one of them being, the CEO of Nestle has now, he thinks, or he says, that we need to privatize water and treat it as food. And so I put this clip on there where it shows the CEO speaking. I said, I apologize for putting this. I realize it's not really about the electric bills per se, but it is about utility bills here, because imagine if the corporations get a hold of our water. You know, look what they're doing to our electricity. And I actually had two women attacking me for putting that on there, thinking that I have some personal agenda or something like this. You know, this is not a place to soapbox, Kevin, you know, with your secret agenda. And I'm just like, well, what the heck is going on here? You know, but I see 200 and something members on there. And I put together the meeting. I even asked for help, you know, by all means, if anybody wants to give me a hand to do this, you know, it's not easy doing this. I got a few responses from people that I actually knew, and that was great. But out of the 200 and something members, only 30, maybe 40 people showed up. You know, so people have taken their backyard bitching, you know, where they sit on their porch or they drink their beer and they complain and bitch and put it onto social media. And now they're not activists, but they're clicktivists. Is mm-hmm. what a friend of mine started here, and I kind of like the saying of that. You know, so they click like and share, and they've actually done something now. And you know, it's very disappointing. But at the same token, I realize, you know, you got to keep going. You know, eventually something is going to kick them.
I've seen it happen here in
BC. I mean, you know, like I mean, everybody knew about the fight to HST, and Bill Vanderzem showed how you could put off not only once, but twice, and acquired 700,000 signatures. It's the first time in Canadian history something like this ever happened. You know, so it can be done. But it's just a matter, what is it that's going to take for them to actually do it? Mm-hmm. You know, and so, I mean, 700,000 people walking out of work would definitely make a serious statement, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, 700,000 anything is going to have a footprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make an impact. I realize
it's a little tougher when you're in the big cities. Like, I'm born and raised in Montreal and grew up in the concrete jungle, and I realize it's harder to source back to your farmers. And even talking to friends back there, they're pushing them back further and further. They're squashing a lot of the small farmers down in Montreal. And I'm sure the same thing is probably happening in Toronto as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to find other ways to get that food supply happening, or at least, if not, find out who's still doing the good beef, you know, whether it be natural or organic, and make sure the word gets out there where you source to them. And now we start to build them back up again and get to the point where somebody else will start another farm again. You know, because now it's smacked enough people, and more will say, okay, hey, finally we got another one, let's go. You know, and people got to understand, you know, like purchase, you know, get in touch with your neighbor, your family, friends, split a quarter cow, half cow, full cow, and it actually works out to be about $4 a pound when you do it that way, like you know, one of our farms up here, you know. So you got to be creative in your ways of getting that food sovereignty going, you know. And so when you organize these community meetings, I always tell people, I don't have all the answers. I do know that if, you know, united as a community, that's where it will start, and everybody has a say, you know. And people got to get off their butts. And like I said, with the calendar, that's what will help to fund, you know, 2 to 3 people that go out there and started going in their communities, you know. So by all means, visit the local supportinglocals.ca, give me a call, and I would love to talk with you and show you how you can go about doing this.
Yeah, gee, his phone number is even on the website. Wow, that's brave.
I know, and surprisingly enough, I don't get any of those weird, stupid phone calls. I am so surprised. But I have,
well,
I have to admit, I have gotten emails and phone calls from around the world saying thank you. I love what you're doing. Good for you. And, you know, because some days it's very disheartening, you know. I had a provocateur at my meeting the other day, and claiming to be an electrical inspector. He seemed to know a little bit about what he was talking about. But by the end of it, I came to realize that chances are this guy is installing the smart meters. He's either working for Corix or somebody related to it. And, you know, and he started to rant and disrupted the meeting enough so that, because I actually had the mayor, the acting mayor, because our current mayor is actually running for the Liberal seat for the MLA, and a few of the councillors were there, two media were there. So, I mean, I pounded the pavement, got it together. I didn't even have two nickels to rub together to put together a handout flyer. I had to go door to door or business to business, tell a few people, get them to tell a few people, and then go to the media. And because of this guy getting up and provoking like that and started swearing, the mayor and most of the councillors left, all except for Doug Maxwell, which I'm going to plug right now, who was part of the BC First Party, which was working very closely with Bill Vanderzam and was a big reason why we got the HST removed. So Doug was the only one that stayed there and spoke at the end to the people, and because the people still stayed, it was a good way to get for the politicians to get their butts out of there before they got it, you know, attacked on questioning and what are they going to do.
Sounds like you need a couple of thugs yourself.
What's that?
Sounds like you need a couple of thugs yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing I do try to do as well, you know, because I mean, there's no course you can take or guidebook, you know, how to save your country for dummies or anything like that.
Yeah,
so you got to try and learn
yet,
from
anyway.
All your mistakes
there should
or, be. that come up, you know. So that's what I'm looking at here, because I mean, these guys, like him showing up at that meeting like he was, that was intentional. He fully intended to disrupt that meeting. So how do you handle it, you know? And so, you know, so these are things I'm going to work on for the next one too, and we're going to have another one shortly here. But one thing I'm looking at putting together here is a music fundraiser for that Ontario woman there. I don't know if you're familiar with this one. Is Farmed and Dangerous. That woman that they came and removed her heritage sheep, and they killed and they killed them all, and now she's about to lose her farm.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh yeah. Well, she's looking at court costs of about $100,000. So she's actually got a GoFundMe thing event going, and I think she's up to between 10,000 and 30,000 right now. But she's got a long way to go, and I think this might be something that can maybe trigger people. The unity of, you know, at least the farmers here to get together to start to help somebody here,
because what they're doing is very, very wrong.
And I think she's
Kevin,
actually connected with Mark Schmidt, too.
Kevin, I would say that part of this is what's needed here is an immediate response team of people to spread the word. You cannot go killing sheep, okay, in front of Canadians and get away with it. The only way they get away with it is by presenting it after the fact. Okay, so had someone said, oh, look, they're going to kill all those nice woolly sheep, do you think they'd have got away with it?
Well, I did throw out an email, and I'm trying to get her to contact me so I can get it straight from the horse's mouth here. Because I think there was a lot going on down there, because Mark Schmidt was the same guy that was taking them on for raw milk. So they got quite a network down
Michael
there,
Schmidt.
And they still were not able to fend them off. And,
yeah, Michael Schmidt. Yeah, well,
so again, I mean, this is concerning. And then, you know, we look at also Warner Brock, someone that you've had on your show before there,
what's happening with him. Yeah.
And it is truly disheartening to hear this and how this, like, people don't have the support that they need. And that's why we got to do this. We truly got to do it and, you know, to start performing citizens' arrest. We're allowed to, you know, to form our peace officers, so let's start doing it, you know, and start arresting the people that need to be arrested.
I have a question, Kevin. I just wanted to further go into what you're all about here, because I would like to connect with local farmers within the GTA myself, so I know where to go besides the farmers market. You know, I mean, like, I don't know if all of them are certified organic or, and if that's my preference, I would like to know more. So if this was spread nationwide or maybe spread out to Ontario, then we could, you know, start shopping more locally, knowing where to go. I'd like to know where to go.
Well, and that's where, I mean, you know, like, that's what I had to do here. And so what I did is I started off with the farmers markets because, I mean, they got networks. And so, like let's say, for example, Vale Farms, organic, certified organic grass-fed, grass-finished beef farm, one of the top, I mean, beautiful beef. But I go and I talk to her, and I'm like, okay, so how many others are doing it like you?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know who the good farmers are because they'll share that with you. They won't want to hog you as a client here. But and I express to them what it is, like who I am, what I'm doing, and why I'm doing it. And so they're like, okay, well, we got this one, and this one. Okay, perfect. Now you go to another farmer's table, find out from them, and then you start calling, connecting. It's a lot of legwork. You know, there's not just one thing you Google and you're going to get all your answers there. And it's due diligence. Go out to the farm. Like what I did, again, for the making of this, I went out to the farms and I brought a video camera with me as well. But initially when I started to do the photos, some of the farmers, you know, they thought I was just some advertiser trying to, you know, make this fancy-smanchy calendar. I mean, I could tell they really couldn't give a darn initially, you know. And then, you know, I start to talk to them, and I throw the M word in there, Monsanto, and I see the hair go up, and, you know, meow, and I'm like, oh, perfect. Okay, let me introduce you to who I really am and what I'm really doing. And by the time I'm done, you know, I mean, I had some of my best dinners out there, and some of my payments were in hugs. But I got to say, that's where it all started. And I did interviews with every single farmer. But I went and checked out their farm, found out who they were, and contrary to what people believe, organic farmers don't do what they do for money, at least not most of them, unless your farm is over 100 acres. I'm sorry, they're not making the money that
the organic farmer that's charging the money. It's bringing it into the major stores that's costing the money, right?
If they're the not major the, stores allow it.
Well, they allow it, all right. They're happy to have it, brings in customers, but the thing is that they hyper-price it.
Uh-huh.
They hyper-price it.
Yeah.
And if you even go to the farmers' markets, some of them are taking advantage of the fact that they're super hiked prices in the stores for organic produce, and they're cutting back a bit, but they're, you know, their prices are actually a lot lower.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes, well, then that's one thing you got to do too, and you got to hold them accountable too.
Yeah.
You know, and so
well,
you got,
I mean,
again, this is not easy to do this, you know, and
there's
that's why
everywhere.
I created it this way where you to create revenue. I'm still in the development stages of that, and I'm starting the second annual for the South Okanagan here, and then moving on to the community beside and starting the Central Okanagan one right after it. But you got to go to those farmers, and at the same token too, like I put down, a lot of them have farm gate sales, so you may have to go back out to the farm to actually get it from them, and you'll get it a lot cheaper, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of them that are taking advantage of it. When I see $6, $6.50 for, you know, a dozen eggs, for organic eggs, it's just like, whoa, come on now, that's a little bit much there, you know.
That's
and
gouging.
I realize it is the good stuff, but come on, you know. And so you know, again, this system is broken, and it's going to take time to fix it. And once we get people in the community where the farmers are trusted, knowing that they're going to sell their product, and if need be, well, another thing that I created and did it the year prior was farm sharing for families that want good food but can't afford it. Farmers that can't afford good, that can't afford the labor, but that's what's happening to them too. They can't afford to bring in the farmhand, so it's cheaper for them to let the food rot. But now, so it creates the win-win. You go out and exchange your labor for food, everybody wins.
That's right.
And
that's,
you know,
a really
and so
good way to do it.
There's a lot of farmers out there that get what's going on, and you just got to go find them. And the more that builds, and I can't wait to get to Kelowna too. There's a couple of great guys doing spin farming, and that's something that you can do in Toronto to create the food sovereignty, and they got it going on. They're growing thousands of pounds of vegetables all throughout Kelowna, and we're not talking farmlands, but people's backyards, people that aren't using them. And so weekly, they get a box of food for the family that that the property belongs to. Then they take the rest of it, they create the CSA box. So myself, I can say, yes, I would like one weekly. Cost me $25. I get a variety of vegetables. They also got restaurants that they cater to as well. And Curtis Stone, who is and John Hoffer, who has created this Green City Acres here, it's creating a revenue of anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 a year. You know, but
wow.
I mean, you're busting your hump, and you got to this is something you got to do because you love it, because it's hard work, but it's not hard work if you love doing it. You know,
right.
And that's showing how you can take it back. You know, so I look very much forward to getting down there and getting a good interview with those guys. But I can actually even forward those clips off to you so you guys can see what they've done down there. And truly remarkable. But that's community at work.
Yeah, that's pretty neat stuff.
Well, maybe Dee can forward them to me so I can post them on Facebook, because I have people from all over the country, and a lot of them in B.C.,
yes,
and
you've just You've just met the prime social butterfly of the activist network.
Yes. Yeah, well, and the thing with Curtis, too, he's traveled all over North America training people exactly on how to do this, and he takes a lot of pride in doing it, and... just last, about 2 months, 2 or 3 months ago, when they had the World Film Festival, it took place in Kelowna. One gentleman who is a filmmaker actually asked Curtis, he says, would you mind? He says, I want to do a film on what you're doing. And Curtis is like, well, he says, I'm very busy. He says, I really don't have time to make movies here. But he says, you're welcome to follow me. But he says, there's one rule. He says, I do everything on bike. So if you want to follow me, you got to get a bike. So the guy had to follow him on a bike, and they documented and put together this great little 45-minute film on what Curtis is doing. And they showed it at the World Film Festival, and the room was packed. It was the most viewed movie was actually for Curtis Stone here and what he was doing.
Awesome.
Well, I think you're doing great work.
And
love
speaking,
it.
And speaking of, let's just reference GMO alfalfa, the end game.
Wow, I know. I just saw it this morning, too, and we had rallies. I actually filmed it as well. We had a rally that went on at the RMLA office down here, and if I'm not mistaken, it happened in 38 cities across Canada here, which, if I'm not mistaken, they have managed to stop it for right now.
From being viewed?
No, well, from being allowed in the GMO alfalfa.
Oh, yeah, for the moment, yeah. Yeah, well, it's a moratorium type thing. So, well, we'll think about it.
Well,
that's
it, and maybe they'll do like they did with the budget and threw in that banking act there that with the IMF that they just did to Greece. Is it Greece?
Cyprus, where
they were able to steal the people's money
out
of the banks.
They
actually split that into the budget. And so they'll find a way to sneak it in somewhere, and you won't even see it coming. And then, yeah, we're going to have a fight on our hands. And that's, like, the one thing about what I'm doing, too, is I do not promote violence in any way, shape, or form. I fully believe that, at least right now, we can actually remove the money from them, and that's what will take down the corporations, or it'll be the donkey and carrot. If you want my dollar, this is what I'm going to need you to do. And if you don't do it, you know, no carrot for you, you know.
I say that, too. I speak with my wallet. I will buy what I buy, and I'm not going to go shop at your stores. And unless you carry this, this, and this, don't expect it. And I put it out there.
Because
I did it here, like our Penticton Farmers Market here. I got to say, it's known for being number one in BC, which is great. And it was 2 years ago. I was walking through the market, and again, I spent. So this is part of the legwork that takes to putting this together here. Most of the time I spend the 4 hours that they're open, I'm there right from start to finish, just going around, and I talk to people. I started to plant seeds, pardon the pun there, about the calendar that I was doing. I give out flyers, you know, letting them know, go check out the website, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't ask anybody to advertise right away. And it got to the point where they started to ask me, hey, how's that calendar coming there? Did you start it? And I said, well, get your wallet or your checkbooks ready. I'm coming soon. You know, yeah. And I just continued to network and make friends. But
that's
throughout
great.
one of my journeys, I heard somebody mention that the Safeway, because our market is right on Main Street down here. And it takes up 4 city blocks, and it's fantastic. It's closed off, and it's a great energy. And I heard somebody say that Safeway wants to bring the market into their parking lot. And so, of course, being the shy person that I am, I kind of like, excuse me, I said, can you repeat that? And he explained to me that they wanted to bring it into Safeway. I'm like, son of a gun. I'm like, okay. You know, so I... the next weekend, I go down to Safeway, and I ask for the produce manager, and I said, can you please point me to the local produce section, please? And I turned, and I'm looking, you know, waiting for him to point, knowing full well that they don't have one, but I just wanted to have some fun here. And he's looking at me. I could tell through my peripheral that he's looking at me like I'm loopy, you know, and he says, well, we don't have one. I said, and I looked at him with a very shocked face. I said, what do you mean we don't have one? I said, we're an agricultural capital of Canada right here in the Okanagan. What do you mean? He says, well, we like everything to kind of look the same and taste the same. I said, really? I said, is that across Canada? Yeah. You know, and I'm like, okay. I said, I got a problem with that. He got so flustered with me, he told me, he says, well, just go to the farmer's market, and ran away on me. You know, and So what we need to do is we go into the Safeway, and I don't care if you're broke, fill that cart up like it's never been filled before. I mean, make sure you know what you're doing though. But and then go to the produce section and ask for the local produce. And if they say they don't have it, just tell them, listen, I'm sorry, I apologize here, but I cannot finish my shopping here today. But what I can do is check with you in about a month here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, not by 5 or 10, but you got to do this by the hundreds, they won't know what the hell to do. And Co-op was a good example there. The one in Calgary, co-ops are actually stopping to supply the industrial farms now, like for chicken and the beef. They don't want to support them anymore. It's going to take time for this. But when that came out in the paper and I saw that, I threw out a massive email blast. You know, I said, you guys, we need to call the store and let them know, way to go, we will support you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
you have to say
sure enough, I called the store the following morning, and I talked to the lady, that the contact person, and I said, hi, I said, I'm Kevin Proto. I'm the one, the reason for everybody calling you today. And she started to laugh. And I says, I do apologize. I says, if you got an email, you know, so you don't get bombarded like this, but I just felt that you guys needed to know and be appreciated for what you've done. And she goes, I don't mind at all. She goes, thank you so much for doing that. You know, so, and that's how it happens. That's truly how it happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is how it used to happen. It used to be, you know, you went in, you gave gave people a reason to do something. They thought about it. They agreed with it. They went ahead and did it, and people thanked them for it, and that's how it should be. But you don't see that anymore. You don't see that. You have to engender it. You have to make it happen like you just did.
And that's it. It's going to be disheartening a lot of times, but... I really thought there was going to be more people at that meeting, you know, and it's just like, okay, nope, you know what, no problem, you know, going to do it again. And, again, it's like, I'll get that, you know, that odd email that comes in, a phone call, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for what you're doing. And that's what will bring your things back up. And, you know, I went into one store, actually, because I went door-to-door and business-to-business selling these calendars now after, and it also incorporated money-saving coupons at the back to go back to your mom and pops, too. So They sold for $20, but you had $500 in savings geared to get you back to $20. You know, mm-hmm. So everybody wins in this situation here. So I was going business to business, selling them as well, and I had 11 outlets carrying them, but I wasn't going to. I'm not letting these calendars sit on a shelf. And my background is 7 years of door-to-door sales and marketing, and I train people how to sell. So I went into this one industrial part, and went into my presentation with the calendar. He says, "Oh," he says, "I already got one." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he told me where he picked it up. And he says, "I just want to let you know," he says, "this calendar changed my life." He says, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like, "Wow, okay, this is heavy." You know, like, huh, you know, my calendar changed his life. And I'm like, "Well, so how did it do that?" He says, "You know, I kind of knew a little bit of what was going on with the food, but," he says, "you nailed it in here." And he says, "You're so right in what you're saying here, you know, supporting the local farmers, the ethical farmers." And I'm standing there, and I literally had my pom-poms going, and you didn't see me, but, you know, I'm like, yay, he got it. You know, and so that's what's going to be your driving force. It's not going to be money. It's going to be seeing people get excited and wanting to support you and thank you.
Yeah,
so
it's funny, I guess. It's funny, but a long time ago, I learned that people are, like human beings, are herding animals. Okay, now we call them jokingly sheeple, and we look at them and we say how mind-controlled they are and everything else. But the truth of the matter is that we like our sociability. We like to communicate. We like to get together. We like to have a good time together. We like to help each other, and we like to celebrate together. And we don't get to do that enough unless it's like battle against cancer, or, you know, the ride for this, or the walk for that. You know, we don't do that anymore on the local level. I mean, I was raised in Winnipeg, and every few blocks there's a community center, and we used the bejeebers out of those community centers.
Yes, I remember that too.
You know, and these things are being excised from our communities, and our humanity is going with it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know our neighbors.
Well, everybody's caught up in that virtual world. You know, they're texting.
Exactly.
You know, like, you see people walking beside each other, and they're actually texting each other instead of talking to each other.
Well, even
you know,
before
you wonder
that,
why
though,
you have
we
a
stopped.
You finally meet a a beautiful woman or a man there, and you can't even communicate with them, and but you can text them. You know, and so,
we're losing the communication
between us. But that's, like, this gathering that I hosted, the local supporting local conference with, that was my first time attending something like that. And it went on for 3 days. And we talked during the day, had the speakers, showed a film, and we danced and celebrated at night. And it was truly phenomenal because we had some of the bands that came in, very unique in their music, and one of them particularly was, his name was Shine, and he's from Australia, but he plays the didgeridoo. And and he incorporated that with a DJ, and I danced my butt off, but as I'm throwing my energy, waving my arms, I could feel all this negative energy just flowing right off of me, and it was just like, wow. And then I find out that the didgeridoo was actually a It helps to heal people and correct your DNA, and and that's what we need to do. And it was surprising how some of the walks of people that came to this this event, and you know, I got to admit, some of the names that were there really attracted some professional people. So it wasn't like a bunch of hippies that were there, because I'm not a hippie. That's where we need to have the talk.
We don't know what you are, Kevin.
We do it in a celebratory way, so that this way they cannot bring in the police, you know, or military, and it only makes sense to not just for them to come in and to disrupt it, you know, because it would just be so out of line. And it's got to, and I'd like to see that go across Canada, and that's why I'd like to do this one for this farmer, and I'm hoping that she contacts me so I can get this organized down here, and maybe others can do another local supporting local music fundraiser in the east. And again, that's where we go. And so here's one thing that's important here too for people, because I never like to take the credit away from somebody. So you and I have here is Terry Wilson with the Canadian Awareness Network.
Yeah, Terry's
in Hamilton.
He
puts out some good stuff there, and he's just like, you and me, he's, you know, trying to do his best to get the word out there. And because of our mainstream media not doing their job, he's trying to fill in that. And he's got a little bit of training on that, too. But you know what? I give full credit. You know, I don't take his concept. I don't take what his work, put my name on it. It's like, you know, let's give a hand to Terry for doing what he's doing over there. So local, supporting locals is a hub to a lot of different things that are going on in your community. So that's what you got to pull into it, you know, and check your ego at the door. You know, you don't have to change the name of it, put somebody else's title on there. Stop doing that. And the biggest ones I find that, and this is where we have that problem, is they stole a generation. And a lot of them that are environmentalists that went to school, I'm talking about here, environmentalists, you know, they've been fed a load of bull, and a lot of them are supporting this UN Agenda 21 here, the sustainability, and this has got to stop now. It's being exposed for the fraud that it is. Monsanto just became a member of it, and the funny thing is when you're on this World Development Sustainable Development page, unless you went to the tiny little word at way at the bottom of the website and clicked on about, you would not know who the members are. And Monsanto is just the tip of the iceberg. It's all the oil companies. It's the same companies that are destroying our world right now. And so if you think you want them to decide what's going to be sustainable for you, you're going to have a very, your idea of sustainability and theirs is two different things. Big time. You know, people need to open their eyes to that and look out for groups that are promoting that. And we do have one that's here in Canada that I've thrown it out there, and I'm waiting for a response, and I still have not heard back from the Council of Canadians on this because there's too much of a link to the UN there for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
And for mine. You know, I'm not comfortable with the UN connection anymore, because every time I see one, I start thinking Agenda 21, and I start thinking Codex, and I start thinking all of the nefarious things that have come out of the UN under the guise of being good for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
here's one. Like, I had an argument, and the thing with me, I mean, I read like I talk. I'm just your average Joe. I mean, I have to admit, I did go deep down the rabbit hole, and I did bring a jackhammer with me, so I've done a lot of research on this, and a lot of it is actually through meeting people as well. I don't just watch one YouTube video, my skirt goes up, and like, oh my God, you know, like, I've done a lot of research into this, but I just lost my train of thought.
That's really too bad, because I don't have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so anyways, with a lot of these environmentalists, they're very, very articulate and very well-spoken, And I'm trying to tell them, I said, listen, let's just look at this in a stupid, simple way. The UN, who sits on the UN? It's the leaders of countries, okay? Let's look at the leaders of the countries right now, what they're doing to our world, and now you think they're going to come up with the solutions to save us? I said, come on, give your head a shake here, you know? So hence why, just take it back at a local level. Why do you need some big, you know, bat signal in the sky to guide you? You know, why can't you just take it back in your community? And I got to be honest, I will take my guidance from a farmer than some book smart environmentalist any day, because most of them aren't even practical. They're only book smart. And
frankly,
I've seen it firsthand. I'm trying to do it here, and somebody trying to run the actual permaculture of it. When I was first caught into this, and I didn't realize what I was a part of, and I said, I got more and more clients for you. He says, I already got three. He says, I can't do anymore. He says, I've never physically done one before. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, no, I learned it all in school. And I'm like, then what the hell are you doing running a permaculture for a city, and you haven't even planted a seed yet? And I'm like, oh, holy crap. And once I discovered what it was, I'm just like, okay, wow. Okay, so... again, when you're putting something like this together, you know, any groups that come in that get government funding or are part of global, and I apologize if you are legit out there, but you got to dump them. You know, check that. Bring your skills, but leave your group behind. You can't bring that group in here. You know, I don't know. That's just my thoughts, and I hope I don't get a lot of emails on this persecuting me for it. But if you can't separate yourself from a global group, then, you know, you take care of your front yard and your backyard first before you think global.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, when we were growing up, when we had a problem inside our house, most of us tried to solve it within the house first.
You know,
that's how we were all raised. You only go outside when you were forced to go outside. And now they've got it reversed. You only go inside when you're forced. And that doesn't happen. Nobody forces you to go inside. So we're all...
I know. It's incredible, you know. And again, I mean no disrespect. I mean, I'm all about feeding people in other countries. But we got starving people happening in our countries. And the reason why these people are starving is because their governments and military are not allowing the food to get to them.
Yeah.
So how much of it's really getting there?
50 million people in the United States.
And I probably shouldn't even touch this at all because I don't want to do that. But worry about your community first. You know, stop thinking about the global. Once we all got our front yards taken all clean and taken care of, and the same thing with our backyards, then move forward. You know, share what you've done. You know, and that's how we got to do it first. You know, I mean,
because
I still do love a lot of what's going on, and there's some people that do some great things, and
I apologize.
I don't mean any disrespect to any of those groups out there, but I'm just saying, you know, let's take care of our own first before we can move forward.
Well, you have to. I mean, you've also got to learn how, and experience is the best teacher. So how about if you're going to practice on yourself instead of some poor innocent schlep who's
practice
just lying there needing help.
Practice what you preach.
Well, no, practice first before you go messing up somebody else. You know, learn what you're supposed to be learning. Figure out what you need to learn. Don't just go enforce your will on somebody else. That's what's being done to us. So we have to know things. We have to gain back all those conveniences that have taken, you know, all what convenience has taken away. We all have to have a modicum of knowledge. And the best way to do that is just start digging in. It's there. It's there. You start talking to each other, eventually everybody knows all kinds of stuff. Right, Kev?
Right.
Yes, exactly. You know, and again, I mean, they're everywhere. There is so many controlled opposition groups that infiltrate. Just be very careful. And that's why when I did join this transition town, I was asked politely to, at first I was invited because of what I was doing with locals, supporting locals, and they thought it was great. And so I spoke at a meeting pertaining to it and received an email the following day saying some of the people thought that, you know, local supporting local seems like it's all about you. And I'm like, holy crap. I said, I apologize. I'll address it next time. I'll try to get that clear. So I did. I apologized and I brought it up the next time and did it. And then I get another email. Well, some of the people, and I find out it's actually one guy, say that local seems like it's all about you and it's all about money. And I'm like, well, wait a second here. Okay. I said, I've never had anybody tell me that. I've been on, I got people inviting me onto radio shows, which I used to be very nervous about doing, but I absolutely love it now. But, and I said, there's something wrong here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, even up on their board, and this is done with the ICLEI, ICLE, their goal is to infiltrate all the groups, whether it's right down to Masons, all these different groups that are in your communities. Like here, we got Sons, you know, Women in Need Societies, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You got to reel them all in to come into this meeting, and you put it under the umbrella of a transition town, and that's where it moves forward. But I mean, and this is where I'm going to have my friend actually be pissed off at me because he supports the transition town that's happening in his community, but he's got the right people on their board, you know, where it's here. I am, you know, two people working for government, one for 24 years and one for 20. I mean, I kind of question that. But when I'm told to shut up about my project, what I'm doing, there's something wrong there. And that's why I know firsthand, you know, I came up with the name. So this is no global group here, you know. Mm-hmm. So we just got to be careful at that when we're putting that together. So just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, you got to be careful, all right. It's a lot of nut bars out there who aren't wearing tinfoil hats.
Mm. Can we just ask either one of you, who, so that the audience actually knows what the difference is between the version of global corporations calling sustainable? What's the definition of sustainable according to us?
Sustainable profit is what they want.
Right.
When we hear sustainable, what we're hearing about, what we're defining that as in our heads is, well, you know, there's no sense starting something that's going to fall apart because, right? You want something that's going to be lasting, enduring. We think sustainable. We think we can make it endure. We can make it work for all of us. Okay, but when they say sustainable, what they mean is they want to cut back on all the excesses so that the, you know, all these systems can be maintained. They're saying by them. And, of course, when they are talking about sustainable, they also mean sustainable profits and profitability. So while we're talking about our own health and betterment and our future, they're talking about sustainable in the sense of their profit and their control, not about our welfare. Because in their view of sustainability, that may mean killing some of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because a lot of people are misunderstanding, and they think, oh, this is great, this company is calling it sustainable. But what does sustainable mean really to them? So
yes.
I just wanted to get a definition. Now, I wanted to get Kevin's definition.
Yes.
Yeah.
What,
well,
is your definition?
I mean,
of?
well, the funny thing is with me is, it's like the color green now. To me, the color green is now black. Anything that's got green written on it, I question because of the whole green agenda here.
Yeah, what they stole kind of rots on it, you know.
Yes, you know, same thing with smart. Anything
smart
now, I want to run the other way on it, because today smart is dumb. You know, when you look at the smart meters, smart grids, smart towns, smart homes, there's nothing smart about it. You know, that should have the stamp of Big Brother on there, because, I mean, it's such a toxic environment that you're in, but because you don't see it, but people are sold on the spin and the propaganda. So the same thing with the sustainability. I mean, to me, it's about food sovereignty, you know, and so I guess my thing about sustainability is, you got to make sure in your community you have your resources. So you need clean drinking water. So how do you have that in the event that the you have no electricity? How do you create that? Food sovereignty is, food and water are number one no matter what. If you got those two, you got a community here. And so that's why you have to form an organization in your community here, because not everybody's going to get on board with what you're doing, but it needs to be organized enough so that this way when people start to, when the shelves go empty, which would take 3 days, that and 3 days is pushing it, there's no more food coming in. So people will start to panic, and you will see anarchy
happen very quickly here. We got 4 minutes till the end of the show here.
Okay,
so in 3 minutes, sorry. So what I would like to do is make sure, Kevin, that everybody has, again, your website is?
www.locals, all plural, and .ca. My phone number, all contact information, you can send emails through there to me, and by all means, get in touch with me. I would love to share with you how to get one going there. And like I said prior, don't try to recreate something, rename it, and make it your own. And it defeats the whole purpose. You know, this is it's a great development that you can put into your community here, and this is how we take back our country, one community at a time.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being with us today, Kevin. Sure, I'm going to call on you in the future, because all of a sudden you're doing all these magnificent things, and so we will.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for wonderful people like yourself, Dee. Because I mean, a lot of things I had no idea about, And again, this is why everybody plays a role in what we're doing here. Yours is to put the word out there. Mine is to read what you're doing, see what you're doing, and it's like, oh, here we go again. So what do we got to do? What's the solution towards it? So, you know, I thank you as well for doing the incredible work that you do as well.
Thank you. Well, we ride the roller coaster together, and I think we all feel like puking at about the same time. It's just been one heck of a ride, you know, and it continues and continues to be one heck of a ride. But again, Kevin, thanks for being with us today. Again, the website is localssupportinglocals.ca, and all the contact information for Kevin Proto is on that webpage. Go take a nose around, take a look at the videos that are on the site, the articles, the interviews, and you'll be amazed. So thank you, Kevin, again. And Stella, thank you for stepping in, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to do this more often as the tinfoil hat sisters take on the world. It's starting to get a little funny, isn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, it's telephone, telegraph, tell Stella. That's how it works. So, you know, I'll be Twittering through Stella and Facebooking through Stella.
So you're living vicariously through me.
Well, no.
I'm kidding.
I know. I think it goes both ways.
Sure.
A little bit. But, no, good job today. And thank you for being here. And to all of you listeners out there, thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Hope you learned something. Hope you carry it forward and share it with others. And we will see you in 2 weeks with more exciting information. And in the meantime, take care and God bless. Thanks to BBS Radio for letting us do this once again. Bye-bye now.